Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Iconic Messengers, where we bring you the realest in the game, the real deal, and it doesn't get any more real than Mr. Dean Rogers. They call him Mean Dean on the streets, ladies and gentlemen, former player for the San Diego Chargers, and I'll have him tell you the story. But as we were discussing before we hit go, Dean, I feel like people are hurting these days. What can we do to serve people at the highest level in 2024 and really give people some insight on what it takes to overcome what they're dealing with and be successful?
What's up, baby?
What's up?
Thanks for having me on the show.
No fucking bullshit intros. We just dive right into it. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. Man, I do think a lot of people are hurting right now because I think people have kind of fallen asleep and been following people that are doing all the next best thing. What's the next best thing? The next best shiny object, this new trick that's going to work. I've even fallen victim of those and spent my hard-earned money to do this new get rich quick scheme thing. Even though I should know better, even though I've already made my own money, I fell victim and wanted to jump into that. But there's too many things of how to make money now. And I think people just need to get focused, get back to the basics of what works and be disciplined not to be chasing all these different things. Everyone wants that instant success, easy button type of money. And the anybody I've talked to that actually has money, every single person says that it doesn't exist. You got to work your ass off. You got to stay consistent. So I'm here to say the same thing. Like, guys, find the vehicle that is going to be that path you take, something that you resonate with, something that you feel like is the right financial opportunity, has the right financial potential, and then just get focused, get great at something. Don't be trying to be great at all these different things and you're really not.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's as real as it gets. And like I said, Dean Rogers in the building. Dean's a very good friend of mine. We've just been in alignment since we met, energy-wise and especially like efficiency-wise. Like, we're trying to play the long-term game. And I think the long-term game just revolves around people, relationships, and communication. And I think there's also a communication problem right now in the business space where you see something on Instagram or YouTube and you think that because it's being communicated to you and shown to you a certain way, that that's what it is, when in reality, there's so many different components and different variables that go into what you see that you're not seeing on social media. And so it's important to have the real conversations like this. So Dean is a wholesaler in California. You've been very successful in real estate. What's the difference for people at ground level between wholesaling and flipping? And how do you determine whether you wholesale a property or you flip it?
Yeah. So very simply, wholesaling is everything that you would do if you wanted to flip a property where you're going to buy this house, you're going through escrow, doing all the paperwork, but just
what
before
is escrow?
You buy the
For
house,
people that don't know anything, what is escrow?
All right. Escrow is a company, a third-party company that handles the transaction for you. Make sure that the title is clear so you're not going to have liens and mortgages and all this different stuff when you buy it. And they are the third party that handles all the money, all the paperwork, and is supposed to be where it's a safe middleman to handle all that paperwork and money.
So it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, yeah.
Cool. So you got the escrow, and now what's next?
So you go through escrow, right? You get the purchase contract from the seller. You're going to buy the house. You take it to escrow. You start that whole process. Instead of closing on the house and buying it and owning it right before, you sign one more piece of paper selling it to someone else. So you're selling that piece of paper that says you can buy this house to someone else. And if you got it at a good price, you can sell that piece of paper for more money. And now, when they close on the property with their money and the property goes in their name, you get paid right then and there and don't have to fix the house up. You don't have the risk of surprise repairs that come up or buying it too high or all these other different things, dealing with tenants. You make your money right then and there.
Amazing. And that is a wholesale of a real estate property.
That is wholesaling.
See, because dude, as many people like you that I hang out with, like that is not something that I even want to be my expertise. Like if I'm going to get to the point where I do deals, it'll be partnering with somebody that knows what they're doing. And I think that a lot of people out there, like I said, they need to know the ground level stuff first before they even think about what it means to take on wholesaling or start a real estate investment company or whatever. Because like you said, I think people are so eager to just get the result that they're like, oh, yeah, well, I'm just going to go wholesale. I heard Dean can help me. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's look at what kind of deals do we have? Because you have the Friends with Benefits program,
yep,
which is a great program and a hysterical name for you people out there. Yes, Dean Rogers has a Friends with Benefits program. But ladies, he's married. This is only for real estate property. So if you bring a property in to your company, what do you guys do with this lead or this potential buy?
Yeah. So a lot of people are just trying to figure it out, or if they're already experienced, they just don't want to do the heavy lifting and shifting of all that. Right. So what we do is if someone has a qualified lead, someone says, yes, I want to sell my house, or you've already come to an agreement, we will take over everything from there. So we'll get in contact with the seller. We'll go on the appointment. We'll take pictures. We'll negotiate and get the deal under contract at the best price. Then we'll handle the whole escrow process. We'll find a buyer that's going to pay top dollar, and you sit back and do nothing. We give you 50% of the profit. So again, if you're just like, I don't know if this is a deal, how do I do this? Or I got too much going on. I don't know if I can really take this on right now. We'll take over everything, do all the heavy lifting and shifting, make sure we maximize that deal, that we're going to make the most amount of money because we're really good at what we do, and you get 50% of the profit. So it's a win-win for everybody.
So that's called a joint venture deal, or JVing a deal, correct?
Yep.
That's the guru term. Yep. I did that right, didn't I, Dean?
You did, yeah. Good job.
Good. So my job here as the host of this show is not the flashy, you know, whatever. I want to give people tactical stuff that they can go out on the street and close a deal tomorrow. If someone is listening to this and they're like, oh, this is getting good, I'm actually learning something. Because like some of that stuff I didn't even know. I should ask more questions. But, you know, when you're running around backstage, it can be difficult. If someone is looking to flip a property, flipping's been a little bit ugly lately, correct? With the interest rates and everything?
Depends on the market. Depends on when you bought it. There's a lot of it depends. For me, in my market in Central California, the deals that we're flipping, and I've done hundreds of flips, we're only doing the easy flips where the numbers have a good spread, because we're not wanting to deal with big, long projects with a potential bunch of surprises. We're only buying them at the medium price point and below, where there's the most activity, the most demand for properties. And then we're listing those properties, putting them for sale at a competitive price. We're not trying to stretch every dollar, maximize every penny. We're listing them at a competitive price. So we're putting these houses on the market where there's low inventory, there's high demand, at a price that's affordable. Those properties for us are selling and moving fast, and we're making a good profit. Whereas other people I hear that are trying to stretch every dollar, that are trying to do big projects, that bought them too high, are experiencing where they're losing money on these deals. And not just a little bit, like some people are experiencing a lot of losses. And that's just something that we haven't dealt with in a long time, because we got really good at finding deals, wholesaling them to build our bank account, not exposing ourselves to the risk of the up and downs of the flip market, and only buying the deals that we were 100% confident were easy, quick, and we're going to sell at a really good price, and we had a large margin on it so that there was room for error.
So obviously you are a lot more precise and, you know, calibrated than you were when you first got in the game, correct?
A lot, yeah.
Okay, so that's good, because, you know, you only become an expert through experience, and you only get experience through, you know, taking a couple punches. I don't know any heavyweight champions that have never gotten punched before. So that's part of the deal when you move into the big leagues. And so let's tone it back to the beginning here, because we've I think given people some tactical, you know, stuff here that they can actually utilize, but also the story of Dean Rogers, I find it fascinating. So we were talking about your wife. What's your wife's name?
Lisa.
Lisa. I almost said Leslie, and that would have been wrong. And what a dangerous thing that can be. So Lisa Rogers, when did you meet Lisa? Before or after this NFL bid?
Yeah, so we were high school sweethearts.
Okay, so you met her in high school, and you played on the high school football team.
Yep.
And so how do you get drafted to the NFL? How does this even happen? Explain that to me and to the people.
So it's a whole process. For me, at least, you know, my whole thing was I was kind of the underdog. Even though I felt like I was good enough, I just felt like I was always underlooked and underappreciated. So I had a chip on my shoulder, right? And so from high school, played great and, you know, got all the accolades and awards and stuff like that. Was being looked at by colleges, but not the ones that I really wanted to go to, honestly. And it was partly because I was a big, tall, white running back that wasn't super fast, blazing speed. And it was kind of like, this guy's not really a running back. What position is he? So I had some colleges looking at me, and I ended up getting some colleges interested for me to play tight end. So I played tight end in college. I went to UC Davis, and they were the only college that were willing to give me a scholarship. The other colleges wanted me to walk on. So I was like, hey, good school academically. They want me there. So went there. And through that whole journey, the short story is scouts show up to practice. You know, if they got players that they're interested in, they show up to practice and they watch you. They show up to the games and they watch you. So I had scouts showing up to watch me practice and to watch me play. And I, you know, had a great career in college and was first team All-American. And, you know, for the conference I was in, I'm on the all-time team, first team, all these different things. So had a good college career. And then it was going through the whole process of training for the NFL, training for the combine, training for all these different things. And one of the things that really took me to the new level that I don't think I had the knowledge of it at the time, but I was really fortunate. I trained with other NFL guys for the NFL. Before I was in the NFL, I was training with NFL guys.
Smart.
And what that did was it really opened up my eyes to two things. What did it take to be there? And it also gave me belief that I belonged, right?
Interesting.
Because as I'm sitting there lifting tons of weight with these big monster dudes, and I'm running routes and going up against guys in the NFL and catching passes against them, when I'm out there doing speed and conditioning drills and running side by side with these guys, I'm like, oh, okay, I got to push myself a little harder. I got to push myself a little harder. And oh, I can do this. All right, this is how this works. So that really helped me be prepared. And when I got the call from the Chargers, it was just as simple as, hey, Dean, you got your bags packed? I'm like,
so
I can.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Whoa. When I got the call from the Chargers. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're doing the draft on TV, right?
Yeah.
So they're doing the draft like on ESPN Live. So what number were the Chargers?
So I went undrafted.
Okay.
So I went undrafted.
So this is how it worked. Hold on. You watched the whole draft and they didn't draft you. That sucks.
It sucks big time. So I had like 12 teams. I had like 12 teams I was talking to, right?
Okay.
And there was about a handful of them that were talking to me. The Arizona Cardinals, Atlanta Falcons.
So they're
Falcons.
Calling you during the presentations.
Yeah. The Cleveland Browns, the Chargers. I'm talking to all these teams, right? Oh, we think we're going to take you like 5th, 6th, or 7th round. Okay, all right. I'm going to be sitting here waiting, right? And I'm waiting. Didn't get drafted. And then add insult to injury, dude. It was the year of the lockout. So instantly, as soon as a draft was done, communication went radio silent. They couldn't even talk to you, okay? So then I just had to wait like another 3 months just training, putting in the work, waiting and hoping I was going to get the call. As soon as the lockout lifted, I got the call from the Chargers. You got your bags packed. Yeah, what's up? I'm ready to go. Let's do this. All right, you're flying out at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it was like 5 p.m.
Wow. Okay. So Lisa, through all of this, so you guys, high school sweethearts, you get drafted. Yeah. Where'd she go to college? Same place?
She went to Fresno State, and we were long distance for 4 years, and it sucked really bad.
Okay, but you clearly made it work. And then when did you guys get married? Before or after the San Diego Chargers call?
A month out of college before the San Diego Chargers.
Oh, so you just locked her up right off the bat. All right, well, good for you.
We sealed the deal quick, yeah.
Good for you. And so obviously I just heard her, you know, reprimanding one of your children in the hallway before you hopped on. So it's clearly going really well.
Yeah. My daughter was making it rain in the hallway, and she had like some fake $20 bill. She was just, I walked by her and she's just throwing them.
Hey, I'm
like,
you know, somebody's got to clean that up. Lisa's got to clean it up now. Yeah. While Mean Dean's in the booth. That's cool, dude. Yep. And so you go out there, you do this. And I have heard now this part of the story where you essentially got moved to a position that was really dangerous and decided that you didn't want to do it anymore. What fullback, yeah, right?
So I roll up, right? They end up changing me from tight end to fullback. And to me, I wasn't going to complain about it. I'm like, dude, I'm here. I'm on the Chargers. I just signed a 3-year deal. I'm not going to be complaining about this. I wasn't a first round draft pick. I'm not in the position to be like, I'm holding out until you give me back my spot. And by the way, we had Antonio Gates, Hall of Famer at tight end. So I make the most of my opportunity. And right out the gate, I'm playing lights out. Norv Turner's the head coach. He's telling me over and over again how, dude, just keep doing what you're doing. You're going to have a long career. And the fact that he would stop me in the hallways when it was just him and I and tell me that, I almost couldn't wrap my head around it. I couldn't believe that this guy who'd seen all these players just telling me, undrafted rookie, I'm going to have a long career. So I'm like, dude, like, I got this. I freaking got this. Just keep doing what you're doing. But as I kept doing what I was doing, in order for me to light dudes up and do great at my position, I had to run right through everybody in my path. And in order to do that really effectively, the truth is you had to use your head a lot. Now, you could have all sorts of people say, oh no, you should be, you know, hitting them correctly with your shoulder. Yeah, but when you're running through the big giant guards and tackles on an ISO play, run play up the middle, and the hole is this wide, like, you're running through head first. And
well, it's really easy for Billy Bob 64 on YouTube to tell the guy in the NFL how to run his freaking route, Dean. Okay, so you know, dude, what I'm saying, like, keep it down over there, Billy Bob.
I can't watch football with civilians, dude. Oh, why'd you drop that pass? Oh, why didn't you throw it to that guy?
I'm like, we were only moving 300 miles an hour. No, I get it. So you were like, I don't want to freaking break my neck here. Correct? Did you have kids at the time?
No kids, no nothing. And it was just like this super messed up thing emotionally and physically that I was going through, because in one hand I had like my fairy tale dream that I was living, and it felt like I was in a movie. Every single second felt like I was in a movie, because literally like moments before I get signed, I'm playing video games when I'm not training. And I'm playing, you know, Madden NFL with my buddies, and I'm playing with the Chargers. I'm playing with Phillip Rivers, throwing the ball to Antonio Gates and Vincent Jackson. And now I'm literally sitting right next to these people in a locker room as my teammates, playing in games with them, practicing, all this stuff. And it was, I mean, everything else that came with the celebrity Hollywood type stuff too, which there's a million crazy stories about that. It's just like, how could you give this up? I mean, you worked your whole life to get here. And then the other side of me was like, run as fast as you can. You will die if you keep doing this. You have to stop, because there is no other way. Like, you can't not hit with your head. You can't not run into these people as hard as you can and still play. So you've got one choice or the other.
Yeah. And I think that that's just the breaking point. I think that we all come to a crossroads, and it's also a breaking point. Like, I've come around this road to a point where I have an opportunity to go this way and get a different result, or I can keep going this way and I can literally see the wall. Because I've been in this situation too. It's literally exactly where I'm at right now in my career, having this conversation with you, where I've built so many platforms with people and built so many masterminds and events and helped so many teams, and they've gotten their views and they've gotten their millions. And it's like, well, hold on a minute here. How am I going to have the conversations I need to impact enough people to build my platform and to do my thing and to put my people on and to develop my Antonio Gates and my Philip Rivers? You know what I mean? And I think that when we reach those pivotal points, I think that the people who keep doing the same thing, I think they almost fizzle out. Maybe the Dean Rogers, the new fandom that you're going to be walking into over the next couple years, you're going to look back and say, well, I'm glad I gave that up for this, because this is so much more rewarding. So with all of that, you quit the NFL.
Yeah.
So you quit and you move home. What's Lisa saying? Is she like, good move? Is she like, what does your wife say to that? Hey, I'm leaving.
I wouldn't say I had quite the, communication skills I did back then as I do now. Like, I never, that's something that's interesting as I've gone through this journey, like me articulating my story, my thoughts, my feelings now, those weren't thoughts and feelings I had then. Like, I was just reactionary.
Yeah, I get it.
Communication wise, you couldn't get a whole lot out of me. How do you feel about things? I don't know. Okay. Like, that's the most you could get out of me. I was just an action taker. I would speak through my play. Right.
Right.
So back then, it's like there was no conversation with family, friends, the wife, anybody, because in my mind at that moment, I couldn't go talk to anybody about this because no one was going to understand.
Mm.
Nobody was going to understand what I was going through, what the decision was. I mean, all these people had supported me my entire life leading up to this moment to get me here. The sacrifice of me having to be selfish with my training, with the time around that, the financial investment from my parents, them traveling to my games, to my trainings, all these different things that everyone that supported me had gone through to help support me get there. And now I'm just walking away. So no, I didn't talk with anybody about it because to me, it didn't make sense to, and nobody would understand. So I
was about to say that. I don't even think they would have even understood. I actually think that they would understand better now because you are so good at elaborating. So anyway, you come back and you're like, I'm going to get into real estate, or did you get a freaking sales job? What are you working at Taco Bell? What happens after you leave the NFL?
Damn near. So I moved back in home with my parents, right, for a short period of time. And I had a good buddy of mine I played college football with. He hits me up and he's like, dude, I know you're done playing football. I got a great opportunity. I'm working at this corporate job. I could walk you in the door. What do you think? So he walks me in the door. I get the job. I cut past all the red tape. I'm in the VIP line, essentially. And here I am. I'm working at this corporate job. And I'm excited. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make the most of it. I'm an optimistic dude. So this is my new career path. And I feel like it's going to work out good. So I'm busting my ass. I'm literally already like built for war. And now I am sitting at a computer desk when I'm used to training all day long. I'm used to playing in stadiums of 80,000 people, right? I'm like, I'm ready for war. And here I am slapping a keyboard around. I think it's a joke. I think this is incredibly easy. And the thing was, I went from a 7-figure salary to a $65,000 salary working at this corporate job. Entry-level position.
So this clearly isn't going to last long. How long did you last at this joint?
So here's the story. Clearly isn't going to last long, right? Unless I work my way up. So I'm thinking, I'm going to bust my ass. I'm going to show them how good I am. So I work my ass off the first year, and 12 months pass. I'm like, well, aren't I supposed to get a pay raise? How does this whole thing work? I nudge my manager. I'm like, hey, what's going on here? I'll get back to you. Another month goes by. Another month goes by. I'm like, hey, dude, how does this thing work?
Yeah, do you want me to run you over? Right? I'm a tight end.
So it's 14 months in. He's like, all right, let me go talk with him. So we sit down. He's like, I got you a pay raise. You're going from 65,000 to 67,000.
Oh, boy.
And my stomach just churned inside out. I felt so sick. And I was like, dude, I gotta do something else then. I have to take this into my own hands. I have to create my own destiny. And
so where
it's
does
not
wholesaling
something I
come
to do.
In? What, where does wholesaling come into this? Did you meet a friend down the street at Walgreens and he's like, dude, let's flip this house?
No. So as soon as I had that conversation, I put my tail in between my legs and I go back home.
Hmm.
And I get onto Google and I'm thinking to myself, what else do I even like? Like, I've hardly done anything but play football in my life. What else do I even like? So I'm thinking about some other business I could start for sports. I'm living in San Francisco. There's a ton of homeless people. Maybe I can make a nonprofit and like get some sponsorships and put some of these homeless people to work. Like, I had some crazy business ideas like that. And I'm like, well, what about real estate? I remember watching real estate shows with my parents in the living room growing up.
Mm.
What about real estate? How to get started in real estate? I slap around the keyboard and up pops a free podcast called the Flip to Freedom Podcast by Sean Terry. Yep. And the title is How to Get Started with Little to No Money. Now, people think because I was in the NFL, I made a ton of money. I wish I did. Because I started and finished so fast, I didn't get all my money. And because I lived in San Francisco, and was basically at a negative salary with this corporate job, money dried up super, super fast. And here I am now staring at my credit cards that are maxed out. I'm now using my wife, her new Target credit card with a $500 limit. We're using that to buy groceries from Target because they just started having a grocery store in their store. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, I'm not about to be a loser. I was literally on the top. Had all the status, had all the fame, had all the celebrity, had all the potential, literally living my dream life. And now I feel like I'm at the bottom and a total loser. I am not going to be a loser. So I found that free podcast and I said, all right, this is it. This is the vehicle that's going to get me back there. Little to no money. Great. That's what I got right now. So I put my ass to work in every second in between commuting, lunch breaks, while people are out smoking cigarettes, I'm out on listening to podcasts and making phone calls, and I bust my ass. And after 3 months of grinding, I get my first deal. And the story is I end up doing that deal with Sean Terry. That's a whole other story I'll share for
you. I love that.
I do that deal with Sean Terry. I bring it to him. He sells it. We make 12 grand together and we split it 50-50. I made 6 grand. And I was like, I can do this a whole bunch more times. This is what I'm going to do.
So how many wholesaling deals have you done since then?
Over 600.
And how many flips have you done since then?
A couple hundred.
How many novations?
Total deals, 600. So about 200, over 200 of those are flips.
So you've done 600 deals total.
Yeah, 600 total. Mid 300s are wholesale deals. And then I've got...
You're miscellaneous. Your novations and sub twos.
65 some odd rental properties that I've bought.
Okay. Okay. So you held some stuff.
Yeah.
So you're like an actual investor. Crazy that I would even have a real person that actually runs a company on a show about business and storytelling. What a crazy concept.
Done all the different strategies.
Yeah.
Sub two, seller financing, novations. I own a rental portfolio. I've flipped houses. I wholesale houses. I've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars by doing simple, easy, avoidable mistakes that rookies make. And I did it. The people that rush into their first flip, the people that trust somebody blindly without doing their due diligence, those are the mistakes I made. And that's how I lost lots of money on deals and big learning lessons. And then I've made millions of dollars since, obviously.
Dude, I think it's a great story. It's a great story. If I had a little clapping thing, I would play it, but I also think that's a little cliche. The moral of the story is, folks, I mean, what you think is the million-dollar move at one point in your life. And it might be the million-dollar move at that point in your life. I know a lot of people got record deals, 22 years old, and I watched them go on to play all the big Warp Tours and all the this and all of that and all the other thing. And I still pay to see them now, 20 years later, and it's still awesome. But listen, man, moments that really matter or are monetized, they fade sometimes. The lights always get shut off at the stadium. The lights always get shut off at the conferences. I just made a post about this the other day. So I've done some cool stuff too. And I had my little $10,000 Uncle G Growth Con moment. And it was big for me because nobody thought that would ever work. But dude, those moments pass. And it's the sustainability that you're able to build through the skills that you learn through your time on earth, your story, your execution that make you like a real warrior later in life or a wimp later in life. And so the people that are out there on the ground level, they're just trying to get that first deal to someone like you or to escrow or whatever the hell it is that they're trying to do. What is something people can do? Because I know we have a limited amount of time. Obviously, Dean runs a real company, so he's taking time away from that to give us his time today. So let's give him some love for that. If you like the show, all we ask is that you share it. And so what is something people can do? Because we got about 5-10 minutes left today to get that first $12,000 check. Because I know there's someone out there that's like, $12,000? If I had $12,000, it would change our lives. How can we help that person get a deal in the next 5 to 10 minutes? What do they need to do in 2024?
Yeah, you gotta find deals. That's it. I think a lot of people are running around chasing their tail, trying to do a lot of different things that actually don't move the needle and don't matter. If you don't have a deal, then you've got nothing going on. So what does a deal look like? How do you find a deal? The way you find deals is through marketing. Okay. And marketing is going to be in a couple different ways. You're either talking to people that are around deals. Okay. So if we're talking about real estate here, who are the people who have deals that you can talk to? Well, there's really four people that you need to talk to. There's going to be sellers. Okay. Sellers are the people who want to sell their house at a discount. That's something we'll come back to. Okay. The other three people you can talk to without spending any money are going to be realtors, wholesalers, and other investors, people who are buying deals, okay? Wholesalers, realtors, and investors. All of these people are spending their time and money to find deals and are around deals. If you can talk to as many of these people as possible and be a deal connector, put deals together, right? If one of these three people have a deal that they need to sell and you contact them at the right time, connect them with another person who's looking for a deal, you can get paid in the middle, okay? So that's the easy way. So you are gonna be wanting to talk to as many people as possible. How do you find these people? Facebook, meetups, and there's some other tools that you can use, which we won't get into today, that you can do to find these people. But you need to be talking to as many people as possible. The last, which is my favorite, because you have more control of it and you can scale it to greater heights, is actually spending money to make your phone ring. That was a concept that I heard Sean Terry say on his Flip to Freedom podcast, a free podcast that never left me from the very beginning when I got started 10 years ago, he wanted to as quickly as possible get to the point to spend money to make his phone ring. So for me, there's different softwares you can use to create a list of people, and then you can call or send them letters in the mail to get them ring. So if you guys are interested in that, you guys can DM me, let me know that you're interested, right? That's a whole nother thing. I can give you access to some of these tools that are very affordable and get you guys going right away. But the quickest way is to either talk to people or market directly to sellers.
Yeah, that's great. And one of those things they can do is just drive around and find for sale signs and call the realtor, correct?
Yeah.
or find for sale or whatever they need to do. I mean, Carlos Reyes putting out bandit signs for who knows how long. There's got to be some other better way than that now, but I'm not there the expert. Yeah. You guys are. But hey, I mean, you got to be willing to do what you got to do. And so I just think your story's awesome, dude. I think, like we talked about, there's a lot of people that want to do big things. They want to get those big checks. They want to find their own deals and create their own income. And it's so difficult because I think people are so confused on who do I even trust anymore? And so it's our job as the guys who are in the trenches to give people the correct information, the correct tools, and the correct systems that they can use to win. Because the more that we help people out there win, the better America gets, the better everybody gets. It's just it's the rising tide theory. And so, you know, we'll probably run this back and get really advanced on another episode, because one of the things I want to do, and I told RJ this too, I want to bring people back and see what they're doing now. What's Dean doing a month from now? What's Dean doing 2 months from now? And then you've got your event coming up. We'll tell people when the dates are for that at the time. But like, I really want to dive deep into what people are doing and create a real community of people that can help other people. Because if I'm not showing people Dean and I'm not showcasing him, how can you guys all possibly get more deals if there's no way for you to connect? And I feel like it shouldn't cost people an arm and a leg to meet somebody that can help them. It's not fair. And I was able to use the internet to meet Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, all these people for free that gave me opportunities, but I had to give them something first. And so I think if we give people the information first, our level of service and our ability to be leaders in the marketplace is going to increase tenfold. So that's what I'm here to do. So Dean's given you a lot of strategy, a lot of advice, a lot of things that you all can implement today to get some deals. Follow him at Dean Rogers Real Estate everywhere. Obviously, his reels are looking real crispy. So make sure to follow those and like those. Subscribe on YouTube. Dean, what are your parting words with the icons of the future generations?
I would just say, guys, if you know in your heart that you want more than what you got right now, you got to put in the work. Nobody's coming to save you. Get your ass to work. Take action consistently, daily. Let's go.
I love it. Dean Rogers, thank you so much for your time. We will run it again soon. Ladies and gentlemen, please subscribe. It's Iconic Messengers with your boy, Pat Hilton. We'll see you on the next one.